Good afternoon. This is Michael Osterlink, and I'm speaking with John Spagnola and Arlene Tessitore, both activists working in support of H.R. 2769, the Parental Consent Act of 2011. Good afternoon, John and Arlene. First of all, tell us a little about yourselves, your backgrounds, and what led you both to become activists in support of the Parental Consent Act. And then let's touch upon what is the Parental Consent Act and what problem is it trying to solve?
Okay. Well, I got involved in this particular issue as a result of going down to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference in Orlando, a few months ago. And I had the fortune of meeting with and having breakfast with Congressman Ron Paul. And we discussed this issue, and he was telling me how important he felt it was and how he would like to get this bill, you know, passed and get movement and support behind it. So he directed me to go and meet with his legislative aide in Washington, D.C., which I did. And I, you know, learned more and more about the issue, and I became more and more excited about the fact that, you know, this is a very valuable issue, and it's not a lot of discussion about it with all the other issues that are taking up time, of course, on regular media channels. And I said, I'm going to do my part to see if we could get this issue more in the public light. And I've talked to a lot of like-minded organizations who have felt like I do strongly about the issue. Now, the bill, again, H.R. 2769, basically it forbids federal funds from being used for any universal or mandatory mental health screening of students without the express, written, voluntary, informed consent of their parents or legal guardians. And the bill protects parents' fundamental rights to directly control the upbringing and the education of their children. Now, the reason this is so essential is that currently there's many programs, what they call screening programs, that are being used in the school systems. And by screening, we're talking about a list of subjective tests, a list of subjective questions that are being used as a test to basically find out whether or not a child has a mental illness. And the concerns here are, one, if you're going to test children, the parents need to be involved, and they need to give a written consent as part of that involvement. Currently, the operating basis is that there's a passive consent where if the parents don't say anything, it's considered an opt-in. In other words, they've consented because they did not say anything that would prevent the child from getting the test. And we feel that's not appropriate, and it's not backed up by most state and federal laws and even Supreme Court rulings. And the idea is, concern is that a lot of these tests are so subjective that there's no real scientific basis that backs them up, or no real adjudication in terms of the efficacy of the test. I'll give you an example. One of the founders of one of the major tests called Teen Screen, a Dr. David Schaffer, is a psychiatrist that helped develop it. But he admitted that the use of the screening method could produce 84 non-suicidal teens to be referred for further evaluation for every 16 youths correctly identified. In other words, an 84% false positive rate. And that's a tremendous concern, because once a child is labeled with a so-called mental disorder of any sort, you know, this gets placed in their record and can follow them, Michael, as you're well aware, throughout their life, and you know, can adversely affect their ability to get employment and follow the careers of their choice. So you have subjective tests, and again, I'm calling them subjective. Let me just give you a few questions off one of the tests that are given, so you get an idea of why I'm saying they're subjective. One is, have you often felt sad or depressed? Have you felt like nothing is fun for you and you just aren't interested in anything? Have you felt less energy than you usually do? And this is one of my favorites. Have you felt you couldn't do anything well, or that you weren't as good looking or as smart as other people? Now, you know, I could flunk this test very easily, and depending on the time of day, the food that child ate, maybe the argument that they had with their mom or their peers, who knows how they're going to answer these questions. This question is said to take 5 minutes, and yet could be used as a basis for labeling a child and causing him to feel that he has now a mental disability, and that has an impact on the child as well as it will have on his life. So again, the parents need to be involved in this. And anyways, that's a little take. I can tell you more about the disorders. But
thanks, John. Hey, Arlene, you're also an activist in support of H.R. 2769, the Parental Consent Act of 2011. Can you tell us your concerns and what brought you into activism on this issue?
Well, John had contacted me because I'm very active with my children, and I had a similar circumstance happen that I know occurs throughout the nation, and that is my children were subjected to screening tests at their school without my informed consent, without my even notification, and this became a huge issue in my district. What occurred is that the local center had put in screening tools for the middle schools, not only in my district, but in 6 other towns. And in doing so, they were able to screen the students with lack of notification to parents and without utilizing written parental consent, which was found that was necessary and legally bounded to do so. And out of the years that they've been doing this, it went unchallenged by any parent in any of these districts because they were not aware of their fundamental parental rights. When my children came home and notified me that they were given a screening tool, I was very, very upset because, one, I was not notified. Two, when I called the school and asked about the notification process, they said that they employed a process by which they sent a note home via the book bag. And we all know, parents that have children that go to school, that if 20% of the parents actually look what goes into those book bags and to get notified, it's a miracle. It's not proper notification to parents. And furthermore, it didn't even elicit my written parental consent to actually ask my children not only mental health questions, but sexual questions. And they were employed 2 separate screening tools at their school during the school year. And I was very, very upset about this. And what was found is that they indeed violated a federal law, which if the school is giving a screening test, they need to have written parental consent. And they had been employing screening tools in 6 towns for years before any parent actually knew what their rights were and then actually tried to have the district correct what they were doing because they were in direct violation of parental rights. And it became a 6-month battle before the school district actually admitted to wrongdoing. And not only that, they devised a policy in the district that enforces now written parental consent across the boards for things like religious background, confidential information regarding questions on mental health questions. There's a series of protected areas at the federal level. And what you'll find is nationally, schools and other groups will try to bypass these rights. And, you know, as a parent experiencing firsthand the amount of backlash from the school district and lack of support for parental consent, it was very, very concerning. And we were just one school that was able to pull through. But I do realize that this is not an isolated incident. There are still other schools in our district, six other towns that didn't even address the issue, and it's very representative of the entire nation. As this story unfolded, I was contacted by other school districts that they too tried to say something to their school systems and were squashed. So it's very important as a parent, you know, whether you're for the screening or whether you're against it, it doesn't even matter. As a parent, your fundamental right to give written parental consent for the screening must be upheld in the schools. So I think it's very, very important that this bill is trying to accomplish that, and for those reasons, I fully support it.
Well, great work, Arlene. Very happy that you woke up to this issue and you pushed to protect your children and the rest of the children in the school districts near you. Which leads me to a question. What would you recommend other parents do when they find out about this in their particular school district?
Well, the first thing that they must do is that if they think that the school is in error, to file a complaint. And what I found is that when you file a complaint, it becomes a real issue. You'll have parents that will issue a complaint at the school level. The school level deals with it. I mean, and I'll give you a clear example. When I first addressed the issue with the school district itself, the school district basically invalidated everything I said and said, well, how is it that you're the only parent in all these years across six towns that has a problem with our notification? And I said, what notification? You're in clear violation of, you know, a federal law that says that the schools, when employing a screening tool using government funds in the Department of Education, must employ written parental consent. I go, whether 2,000 other parents are unaware of their rights doesn't make it any more, you know, right for you to violate that law. And it took, and I'll tell you, it took months and months pushing through. Finally, I had to go to an attorney to file a complaint at the federal level for our concerns to be heard. And it wasn't until that point that the school actually decided to work with the parents in the town and realize that they were in violation and admit they were in violation and actually put in policy to protect parental rights. And I'll tell you, till that point, they were still trying to say what they were doing was absolutely within their legal parameters to do so. And again, I don't think this is an isolated incident. I know the attorney I was working with told me shortly after they were getting a call from another state, same exact incident. So it's not isolated. Parents need to be aware that if they're not being asked for their written parental consent, to file a complaint. File a complaint with the school board, file a complaint with the Department of Education, and demand that written parental consent be instituted. And you know, without creating individual battles in individual states, let's just address it nationally. Let's get a bill passed that will guarantee written parental consent for all parents in regards to this issue. And that will protect my rights if I don't want my children screened. It will protect the rights of someone if they wanted them to be screened. Either way, however you have a viewpoint on this, your right as a parent, you are able to exercise, and it's not trumped on by a school district, by a health center, by, you know, a special interest group. And that's the key here. I think the key here is that we're trying to protect parents' rights, and it is being violated nationally, and it's not being heard because their voices are being squashed at the district level.
Thank you, Arlene. That's very helpful for folks to know what they can and should do, in fact, if they run across these issues. John, you've been very active at the federal level. I've seen you here in D.C., running around putting together a coalition in support of H.R. 2769, the Parental Consent Act. Can you speak about this coalition effort?
Yes. I've met some wonderful people and various organizations who have also felt that the rights of parents need to be protected, and that they also wanted to join the effort because there's a lot of, you know, government intrusion that's going on these days, And the more the parents are involved, especially in the children's lives and decisions that affect their children, the better. And so I was pleased to see this. And see, there's also a financial incentive sometimes that's not realized, and that is once a child is in fact labeled through one of these screening tests as having a mental disorder, then the schools receive extra funding through the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The child is now considered disabled, whatever the disorder may be. So these are some of the concerns, and you know, a lot of these organizations feel like parental rights are senior, and they wanted to kind of jump on board and become part of a push to get this bill passed in Congress. And so what we've done is a joint letter has been put together supporting the bill. And we have, there's over 20 national organizations. Actually, someone just signed on just yesterday, again. And the 20 different groups who have come together, and they want to make their voices known. And we are going to send that to Congress as the next step so that we can get various congressmen to co-sponsor this bill. And by co-sponsor, that simply means a congressman would sign their name onto the bill along with, you know, Ron Paul, Dan Burton, and Marsha Blackburn, and become a co-sponsor to the bill so that we can move it ahead and hopefully pass it in the House and then take the same action in the Senate. By the way, the bill has been introduced in the Senate by Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son. So the companion bill there is S-1800, and that'll be another objective shortly down the road.
Great. John, you've gotten some impressive names on your list of signatures so far. Do you want to give us a hint of some of the names you've gotten? And if our audience are part of organizations, how might they add their names to your letter?
Well, they could certainly call me, which I'd be glad to, you know, so they could, you know, take a look at what we've done and become part of the joint letter. That would be fantastic. We've had Eagle Forum has come on as a signer onto the letter. You know, these group having to do with the Southern Baptist Convention that represents their activities in Washington has signed on, which we're really happy with. The Citizens for Health, a citizens group, has signed on, which represents like quite a large contingency of health individuals. There has been constitutional groups that have come on as well. We even had Gun Owners of America come on because their concern is that these labels could possibly be used to label gun owners as having some sort of problem with mental health, and maybe labels could be used to help take away the rights of these gun owners. So they had their interest, which was kind of interesting to hear their take on it as well. But there's a total of 20 national organizations, and the Canary Party is another that came on. You know, it's an impressive list, and it's continuing to grow. So I'm looking forward to anyone that would like to be part to help out. Please, you know, contact me. It's 727-446-0200, or you could email me at SPAG, that's S-P as in Peter, A-G, again, S-P-A-G, at G-T-E, that's George Thomas Edward, .net. And I'd be more than glad to provide the letter to you so you could read it over and see if you might be interested in coming aboard and helping.
Great. And I also see our very own Dr. Jane Orient, the Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, is also on the letter. And having known and worked with Dr. Orient for many years, I know she's been a very, very, very strong proponent of parental consent and has been in strong opposition to these screening programs.
Yes, I actually got to speak with Dr. Orient, and she was very strong on this issue and felt it was extremely important that parents, you know, and their rights be protected. Because, of course, you know, you are talking the health of a child. If a child is then medicated with some of these drugs, and And, of course, that's probably for another show, but there's a lot of very powerful side effects to go along with the medications that can result in a labeling of a child. Then, of course, it goes right into the teeth of, you know, the work that we're doing here and Jane, Dr. Jane Orient's interest with protecting the health of all. A wonderful lady, and I just want to thank her for being on as well.
This is Michael Osterlink, and I am talking to John Spagnola and Arlene Tessitore, both activists in support of the bill H.R. 2769, the Parental Consent Act of 2011. John and Arlene, thank you very much. I wish you much success and look forward to working with you both in the near future and making sure this bill passes and becomes law.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
We appreciate the time and the opportunity to talk about the bill and, look forward to talking to you again in the future.